This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
It's an S-Pod thing, the podcast revisiting S Club 7's insane TV show.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone's binge-watched this, anyone who's not on drugs.
Thank you for bringing this into my life. It was honestly truly appalling.
Guests helped me analyse the show in more detail than anyone ever asked for.
It feels weird to me to say the phrase sex object in a show that was aimed at six-year-olds.
Do you think this is one of the problems of the show is that 7 is too much?
It's an S-Pod thing from Great Big Owl.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Elizabeth Hurley, she then popped up to do the T's and C's.
Yes.
Again, another booking that really sticks out for being, you know, they were playing the Austin Powers music behind Elizabeth
Hurley.
They
literally were, weren't they? Is that her last film, or was it Bedazzled, the awful remake of Bedazzled?
It was that, but I mean, I would have much preferred to have the Peter Cook song, which comes from Bedazzled, yes, where he plays a pop star.
No, it's Dudley Moore going, love me, love me, and Peter Cook going, you fill me with inertia, yeah.
You fill me with inertia. Yep. It would be such a lovely thing to see Elizabeth Hurley playing that one. Peter Cook is behind just going, you fill me with inertia. Yeah.
I'm fickle. I'm cold.
You shiver.
I'm shallow.
You drive me wild. You drive me wild.
You fill me with inertia.
I did look up Austin Powers, 1997, so that was 23 years since she's really done anything that we could say was of note.
Apart from she's photographed a lot at Elton John AIDS fundraisers and in bikinis, which I believe she sells. It was astonishingly weird, just weird.
Made a sort of appeal for her to please do it next year as well.
Oh, I know.
Again, seemed sort of a bit, it's not going to set the world on fire.
No.
You know, and just trying to do your booking through the thing of going, please come on next year, please. Stuffer.
Nope. We are against her. We are not for her.
And then we saw the couple's choices. So they got to choose the dances that they'd done through the series that they wanted to reprise. Harvey and Jeanette, again, starting with their American Smooth.
Oh,
that was
so good.
I mean, just unbelievable. Moxie
absolutely
called it the
amazing
dance of the decade. And it really was. One of the nicest things about this, of course, was watching Harvey just blubbing his way through this.
Oh, my
watching
God.
Watching Jeanette blubbing her way through
it
this.
Was so
and then
bittersweet.
Cutting to see Aliash blubbing his way through it as well.
Oh, he was crying
his
head off. It was so cute. And also the
so
little VTs,
nice.
I think, before the couple's choice, obviously they're trying to build emotion and say, what does this mean to you? And all the, you know, there's a lot of say something nice about your partner without crying. You can't, can you? Look, you're crying. But there was a real sense as I was watching this dance, because it was just clearly outstanding, a real sense of the bubble beginning to burst. Like, it's not just the end of Strictly. When you've done your last dance with your glittery, lovely, shiny, sparkly partner, you're going back to your home, probably to a tier 4 neighbourhood. You can't see your family for Christmas. It's a real end of the affair thing. Like, this is coming to an end, and it's doubly sad.
Yeah.
So it was a really bittersweet thing to watch them, also emotional, to watch them just make this dance the finest way to bid the whole show farewell. It was just lovely.
I think as well, I mean, one of the things that really was the strength of this series is you had three people who could have won this series and everyone would have been happy. You know, I'd written down on my notes exactly what you said earlier, which is when Bill was named the winner, I sort of thought to myself, I would not have been in any way less pleased had it been Harvey or Maisie.
Me too.
I think
too.
You know, any of those results would have been great.
Yeah.
And so that was a nice thing, them going in where they had no idea.
Yeah.
There was no front runner. There was no Kelvin this year who you believed, you know, he was obviously going to be the winner.
Yeah.
You just didn't know how it would go. And I think that made, you know, the emotions also big, because it felt like a group win. That was what was nice
really
about it.
It really did, didn't it? Absolutely. Mm. I really enjoyed, and in the judges sort of judging of this dance, Shirley's, you know what I'm going to say, Shirley's seven P's. I've been waiting for 500 years to do this quote. And then she didn't really so much do a quote as say something, lots of words beginning with P that didn't really make a proper sentence.
It was fine. When she said the seven P's as well, I hadn't thought about the number, but I thought it was going to be
perfect.
No, I thought it was going to be proper preparation prevents piss poor performance. And yes. I thought, is she going to say this? Is that going to come out? And her one, she went proper. And I was like, oh, Christ,
here it comes.
This is exciting. But no, it was not worth waiting 7 years or whatever for those words.
That much.
No, she did hype it, and it did hang in the air after she said it with no audience and everyone just a little bit quiet.
Yeah.
One of my favourite bits of hanging air as well is Craig was saying, I'm going to give better marks and everything. And there was a slight pause and he said, I must be very ill or something. And you could see everyone go, not today, mate.
No.
I think I must have some kind of virus.
No. We're all trying to forget it exists. My other favourite bit of this bit of the show was Tess's continual apology that she didn't have any tissues. And I think clearly this means next year there will be a sparkly box with Tess's tissues on the front that she will dole out to sobbing contestants when
you
necessary.
You have just given away for free an idea that the BBC would have paid for.
I know.
Tess's whole thing as well of I've got tissues and everything. I don't think anyone expect a glamorous television host to be carrying a wad of Kleenex around with them.
She never has pockets in those dresses. These are not the kind of dresses that have any room for a pocket.
And it's a funny thing of sort of going, I'm both the television host, but at heart, a normal caring mother.
I'm just a mum.
But I don't have any tissues because I'm working now, you know. But it's a funny thing to constantly
go on
about.
And also, I have no particular use for tissues myself, having no tear glands.
Occasionally the dipstick does need to be checked for my oil levels.
Stop.
some humans do not like to get the grease on their puny flesh hands. spectacular dance.
It was worthy of every one of those tens and so much more.
It really was. And it's sad that they dropped through Craig the two marks that would have made this a 90. Because it could have been a 90 and it should have been a 90.
They deserved it. They were flawless.
They really did.
So next we move on to the last dance of Jamie and Karen. This is where he said he completed Strictly. Did you complete Strictly? Yes, you did, he said to himself, because no one was actually asking him. They did their street dance to Everybody Dance Now.
Yeah, this was like when those anti-drugs acting troops used to come to your school. And they would... Yes. They would perform at school assembly.
It really was.
If somebody offers you marijuana, maybe you should think this. Instead of smoking it, why don't you say to them, let's dance. Everybody, dance. And it was a bit like that, wasn't it? It just, they're also wearing these sort of like crisscross style clothes a lot in this.
The baggy
in their
jeans
street dances,
and tracksuit tops and, yeah.
That Steve Buscemi cameo of, you know, what's up, fellow high school kids. It just... sinister. Absolutely sinister.
Yeah, he's too old for that shit.
This was excruciatingly basic compared to what we've just been watching. You know, the previous
really
three dances.
Yes, no, completely. It wasn't even in the same ballpark, the same sport, whatever. But out of the three dances that Jamie did, he sort of was better in this one. As in, he seemed to find his synchronisation with Karen again. Look, I'm saying something nice. It was really funny. I didn't actually watch the final all-in-one chunk last night because I was having a quick drink with my lovely friend Katie Locke. Mm. And she mentioned that her mum listens to this show and says things to her like, oh, I see Jamie was on It Takes Two this week. Julia won't be happy about that. I had no idea you were even listening. Hello, Katie's mum. I love you and thank you for listening. Let's get that in. But this was, of his three dances, the best of the three. Mm. But again, I will never forgive that show. No other dancer has had this privilege, not commented upon privilege, of only doing street dances, of just quickly being removed from anything that would make it difficult for him. He's been treated like a member of the royal family in a way that I just do not understand. Mm. It's baffling that somehow his privilege from outside the show has somehow translated into a privilege being a contestant on this show. Why are they giving him such easy breaks? Why didn't they push him? Why didn't they make him do something more challenging?
Yeah, I entirely agree. And I think, you know, you could have ended up as well with a final that, had you been doing this from an earlier point of view, that would have had Ranveer in. And at least we would have had some beautiful, beautiful ballroom as well. And a good storyline. And four people that you felt, oh, what a wonderful set of finalists.
I had a couple of moments where we joked last night, like, oh, Jamie keeps ruining this final for us. And it was never when he was dancing. It was when it cut back to the whole cast reunited at their cabaret tables, and I saw Ranveer just smiling sweetly and enjoying the show, but with a slight air of regret about her.
Yeah,
it's Clara sitting next to her, and I just thought, I wish with all my heart either of you two should be here. It shouldn't be that blonde bastard. I'm sorry.
No, I agree.
I'll stop talking about him now because I'm done. I'm done with you, Biscuits.
It was also, you know, because he is the one there who had no chance of winning. It was just like they
no
should have said.
No chance at all. It's almost as if he wasn't as good as the other three couples.
Exactly. When you have like school football matches and one of the sides is already 13-0 down, at half-time, often the ref goes, well, you know, I called half-time 15 minutes early and we're going to play 10 minutes and then the game's over. Because there's no point, you know, there's no point humiliating them. They'll feel bad. And I slightly felt that about this. I was like, we've got to a point now where he's not going to win. So maybe we should just go, Jamie, you've done your two dances. Listen, love, we're just going to make a quick change to the running order. Go, get out.
Because it used to be, do you remember, it was really brutal in the old finals of Yore a few years back. It used to be, I think, maybe three couples and only two would get to do their show dances because one would be eliminated with the least votes after the first half of the show.
Yeah.
So if they'd done that, we wouldn't have had to put up with Jamie all the way through the night. We'd have basically been able to remove him. But obviously, because of the COVID thing and the trying to keep everything uplifting, it was everyone, no one gets left behind. But I would love to have seen him go early.
I thought having four people as well, it was like 2.5 hours. This
such a long show. I mean,
it was so long with four.
That's why
people.
I had to stop for a pint with my friend. It was exhausting.
What you end up is you end up with 12 dances, which is basically one of the opening shows, and the opening shows are monstrously
long.
You know, and I felt that with this. It was just like I now want to see the best of the best. I don't want to see the rest of the best, if you see what I mean.
No.
You know,
Motsi
did say about it, I think this was your personal best dance in the whole series. And
I think she was right. I'd agree with that. That's pretty much the best he can be.
I think there's something else you're going to agree with here. Shirley said, I will carry the joy of your dance in my heart forever.
Yes, no, I mean, it's almost like she was channeling how I was feeling in that moment. It's like I was glove puppeting Shirley.
Yeah. Let's crack on and let's get on with something we enjoyed, which was Bill and Oti doing their classic street commercial dance again. The one to Rapper's Delight.
Which is a really good move. When I heard they were finishing on this, I was like, yes, please.
For me, this is good one of now the iconic dances of Strictly. I think it's one of the most enjoyable dances you've ever seen in Strictly. One one that's funny and sort of, you know, silly, but is also brilliantly danced. And that's
just
been something which
great.
Has been, yeah, something which often, you know, the funny, charming ones aren't often the best dance ones. And the fact that this was both absolutely perfect. It's proper an expression of joy, this dance. It really is.
It really is. And it's the one, again, whether you liked it or loathed it, the show dance and this really understood the choreography, really played to the fact that he's a comedian, but he's a light entertainment performer. He understands what this show is for people. He's the one that had such empathy about how this show's kind of kept the nation going in a way. And it really has. I'm not going to pull any punches there. It definitely has kept us going. It's kept me going. Mm. But he understood, this dance understood that we're watching an all-round entertainment. There's funny in it. There's skill in it. There's a really good tune that everyone can, you know, get along with. It was just a consummate. It was an all-round piece of entertainment.
Yeah, great. I mean, every element was there, wasn't it? Just
so charming.
Really, really good. I mean, you know, Shirley said you're a performer of the highest quality, and it really was high quality. As you say, every single one of those choices is a big tick, and together it's just something magical.
Really brilliant. And I would even argue, because he's like, bearing in mind his great age, you know, this is the third dance in a very long night, incredibly high energy stuff he's had to do so far. You know, he's done a quick step, which would knacker anyone out. To finish with this very physically demanding, every single note is danced routine, I'd say he did look infinitesimally tired compared to how he had done in the first two dances, but he still was just, you could see, I could actually see him pushing through the physical knackeredness on adrenaline and joy and just wanting to drink every bit in. It was so lovely.
Wasn't it lovely? And so I think that was the moment as well that you watch and you go, you've got every chance of winning this now.
The minute I heard they were doing this routine, I saw him lifting the glitter ball in his zoot suit. I was like, the dance you choose to do last is the one you're going to be lifting the trophy in. Which one is it? And I knew he'd win. Yeah. The minute they chose that, I knew.
Those pictures actually of him holding it with Oti, they look great in those suits. Mm, it really makes it look sort of like, like a smart event.
So cool.
Thank God it wasn't, Jamie dressed as a 12-year-old picking it up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Keza McDonald.
And I'm Ellie Gibson.
And this is our new show, Extra Life.
It's basically us talking to funny people about video games.
When I was a kid, it was Grand Theft Auto.
The Sinclair ZX Spectrum.
We talk about the games people remember from when they were kids and what they're playing now.
Guitar Hero.
The Last of Us 2.
Combat on the Atari 2600.
No, I love Pokemon.
Anyway, find us anywhere you get your podcasts.
Extra Life.
Can I just say, Craig only gave them a 9 for Bill and Oti.
Yes. And he'll do the same for Maisie and Gorka as well in a dance that they... I mean, these were 10 dances on the final dances of the series. It was. Yep. It's the decision... I keep going on about it, but it was absolute wrong decision. And not wrong decision from a marking point of view, but from an entertainment, a television and an audience point of view.
Yeah.
All of those things. It was ridiculous to sort of go, I'm going to, for some reason, pick a hole in that.
All I can say is, and yeah, especially when he could find nothing to actually say during the judging about it, all I can say is the final scoreboard, we'll go back and talk about the quick step in a minute, but the final scoreboard was everybody on 88 and Jamie and Karen on 84. Maybe it was I can't imagine the maths were really being thought about that much, but it did leave you in sort of no doubt as to it being anybody's game except Jamie and Karen.
Yeah.
I suppose in that way, it was kind of giving them all a fair shot because they don't go to the school board for nothing at the end, even though the scores don't count. They give you a visual representation of, look, it's anybody's game, which I suppose is the one good thing you can say about their scoring.
Yeah. I mean, I think, there would have been a nice thing had Harvey or Maisie had actually beaten Bill in the
and still not won.
Then you have a nice thing of going, Bill has won because, caps the hearts and minds, but, Maisie,
the de facto winner.
The spiritual winner, or, the electoral college.
Exactly, the popular vote. Exactly. But this dance was magical. I loved their quick step.
Amazing.
Maisie and Gorka, just the speed around that dance floor, the distance they covered. I love the styling for this dance as well. They did a lot of old Hollywood, those two, this episode, and I just loved it.
Yeah.
And exactly what I wanted to see, a week before Christmas. I ate this up with a spoon. It was like casting a lovely, twinkly spell, just beautiful.
Wasn't it? And Craig said, absolutely terrific, fantastic. And I think terrific is the perfect word for what she does. There's a wholesome thing that is not just brilliant and beautiful, it's also what she does is impossible. And
it is
just what a terrific performer, what a terrific performance, and what a terrific dancer. All of those, it's so wholesome and good. Every time she came on, I would look forward to seeing what she was going to do.
Me too.
And every time you'd just go, that was brilliant, that was great.
There's no question, win or lose, Maisie's career as a 19-year-old, God, she's so ridiculously young. She's barely older than my son, who I still see as a tiny baby. He's 11. He'd be very embarrassed now. But she's got it all ahead of her. I had never heard of her because I don't watch EastEnders anymore.
Yeah.
And now she is the most famous 19-year-old in the country. She's had all that exposure. She has the shop window for her talent has been, you know, wonderful, and she can do what the hell she likes now. Oh my God, that's it.
If
we're
this girl
all
can sing,
water.
She is. Yeah. She is just. She's in the West End. She's going to be doing, you know, Annie Get Your Gun or whatever, you know. And it's
Eliza
Doolittle.
She'll do something brilliant next. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Exactly that. She'll be our next Martine McCutcheon. I mean, quite literally. She come from EastEnders. She'll go to performing and stuff. And Cara Toynton is the perfect example of that as well. Cara Toynton, former EastEnder.
Well, yes.
Won Strictly. Yes. Goes on to do Eliza Doolittle in the West End.
The Sound of Music on TV and stuff. Yeah, she's brilliant.
Yeah. I once saw her reading her script notes in a Chinese restaurant in East Finchley. And she had them. They were half size, and so she was wearing a little pair of glasses. That's it's.
Why are all your stories? I observed her from a distance.
I'm
like, do you just follow these women?
Following is strong. do I change things if I know they're going to be around? Well, yeah, sort of. Who doesn't?
Oh my God, you're terrifying. I did really enjoy as well Motsy hijacking the end of this, the sort of judges' comments to basically just, she was in tears at the efforts of everyone. Obviously it's echoed by Tess and Claudia later, but the efforts of everyone to be away from their families to make this show, and just to give them of themselves for 8 weeks,
yeah,
missing out on so much, sacrificing so much. She stood, was in tears, everyone stood, I was crying, everyone in the studio seemed to be crying as well. It was just really, really lovely. It was a really nice moment.
I did, you know, again, I think it's fine when the judges do it. I mean, we'll talk about the little package that they did in a sec. But I do think the show itself with its voice has to be a bit careful about the way it says its importance. And I think when Motsy does it, it's fine. But almost you would sort of go, let's ease off on that now. But of course, they had a video package ready to go that they could not get out of.
No, exactly. It was like, I think Motsy went rogue. I don't think she was supposed to do that. And she just was overcome with the desire to say thank you.
We cut to Bruno as well in LA. And he had a pre-recorded piece that had no relevance to the show that had gone out.
Keep it vague, Bruno. Keep it vague.
Yeah, it was. What a wonderful... Oh, those show dances. Weren't they incredible?
Any of
Such
you could
Such a wonderful
win.
Night. Any of you could win. I can't remember if anyone became injured and was unable to perform as planned, but I mean, hopefully that did not come to pass. And congratulations to the man or woman who has won this.
Yes.
I mean, he seemed like the ghost of the feast. We've just been through a whole series of this. They even had a little bit in the dance at the end where Anton did a thing of holding up his 10 paddle in front of Craig's
thing.
I know.
He got a tiny little memorial as a judge for 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah, didn't he? And I did sort of think with Bruno, I was like, now we've done the series, we see that we don't need him back. Let's put Anton in.
It's fine without him, yeah.
Seeing Bruno there continually going, I cannot wait until I return and I am back for next series. And it's that slight Noel Edmonds thing of saying it so it's out there in the universe.
I know, cosmic ordering. Yes, yes. I really want Anton to be a judge so hard now. Like,
yeah.
It's just, it'll really disappoint me if they give him another 2 weeker like next series. It would be such a disappointment.
I feel like, you know, like all shows, Strictly evolves and things. Sooner or later, a judge has to go. This, to me, why you would think about bringing Bruno back next season, I just can't understand what the thinking would be there, other than some stupid contract signed 4 years ago, which has still got loads of years to run on it.
Yeah, now I've seen Anton as a judge, it feels weird that he's not a judge.
Yeah,
it just makes
it?
No sense.
None at
anymore.
All. I think also they should have made a bit more of him, having done it, you know. I'd have stuck him on for the final as well, to be
honest.
Totally. You know, it's nice that you can say they got 40s and there's 1 year where you have to have an asterisk that said this was the maximum score, but there were three judges.
I know.
You know, sports. The T's and C's came up and they had Paul McCartney and Idris Elba.
They did.
I looked at this and I thought, why didn't they get Idris Elba to do Joanna Page's one?
I know.
Rather than have the two of them together. There was a bit where poor old Paul McCartney, Idris Elba was speaking in his London voice and Paul was like, oh, I'm going to take him off. And he just did this awful... He obviously thinks Idris Elba is an American actor, but he also did the voice of going, he is a black American actor from the 70s, from black exploitation films.
Paul McCartney is in his 70s. Like, it's... I get it, but oh, no. And then he got the T&Cs wrong. He couldn't... he couldn't do .co.uk. He couldn't do it, so he just didn't do it. And no one corrected him. And obviously, this was to trail later in the evening, a Christmas special or whatever, an interview. Idris Elba talks to Sir Paul McCartney, where Idris Elba, who, to be honest, I've always thought was pretty, but I don't think there's much going on up top. I've seen him do a few things as himself. He's really not got... There's nothing alive up there that I can really see. Just pretty. But he basically starts the interview by saying, I haven't really planned what I'm going to say. I'm just going to busk it. At which point, every journalist in the country just went, F you, mate. F you. Awful. You've got Paul McCartney, you total bastard.
Just imagine if other branches, like, you know, being a bus driver, and you went, well, to be honest, this is my first day, but I haven't really found out what the bus does, but let's have a go, shall we? Yeah. Any other job, you'd be immediately dismissed. In television, people go, so cool, so cool.
On primetime BBC One.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not Idris Elba's fault. Anyone who was asked, hey, you're famous and sexy, do you want to interview Paul McCartney? Of course you're going to say yes. Mm. But whoever made that programme, death be upon them. Not death. A plague of bees be upon you.
You're going to have to do the next series of Flog It. That's what we're going to do. You're going to be in charge of that.
One of those ones where you hang around an airport asking people where they're going. Just screw you, mate. That was the worst decision ever.
We then had the fantastic Katya and Nicola Adams
dance. Oh, my God.
That was lovely. She's no longer moving like a boxer.
No.
She's moving like a sex panther.
It was sexy, hot, ballroomy number in Hole. There were some incredible tricks. Mm. That Katya flipped over her back at one point.
Yep.
It was really sizzling. They allowed Katya to be sexy again. It's almost like they gave her back her sexy wings.
Yep.
Like she's done penance in a whole series being sexless. For obviously the crimes of her past life.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, you may now return to the Strictly Fold as the hot piece of arse you really
Absolutely.
Are. Absolutely. And Nicola just was allowed to be... Nicola was very sexy, but she was allowed to be commanding, more masculine, kind of rather than just androgynous. She was sort of leading a very much led dance, man leading woman, if it was an old-fashioned sort of...
She was strong
pairing.
And she was powerful and she was...
Just gorgeous. You know,
it was great. I mean, it just, you know, I'm so glad that in an episode that I really, really, really enjoyed, they also gave us that extra bonus bit of going, this
Me
is
too.
What you would have seen had things not gone wrong. And this was the thing which you and Julia had complained was not going to happen, that we were relieved about.
What did we say?
Bang,
they listen.
Here it is.
They listen.
Here it is.
It's okay, guys. You don't have to say it, but we know you're listening, and we thank you. We thank you. You made steam come out of my ears. It was delightful.
It was very, very good.
I really enjoyed myself. We both enjoyed that.
No, and then we went through, you know, a bit that, again, it was, you would not have believed that the one thing that we wouldn't want on the, like, 19th of December at 7 o'clock would have been really any mention of Christmas and how great Christmas was going to be and how Christmassy we all felt. So we had Robbie Williams coming out dressed as Morrissey.
To be honest, it was appropriate, I thought, because he's now got this thing. He used to do this when he was like on drugs a lot when he was younger and starting his solo career. But now he just sings with this very crazed 1,000-yard stare.
Yeah.
Like he's got something else to do. He'll be back in a minute. He's just about to leave. And it's very uncomfortable to watch. It looks like he's always just about to go.
Yeah, I watched it and I thought, is he anxious? Is he nervous about this? But I think you're absolutely right. I don't think it is. I think there's a part of him that is just going, I hope people aren't going to think this looks desperate and this song is crap.
It does look desperate. And it was crap. Yeah, it wasn't a good song.
And maybe if I have a distance to it, they'll be able to look at me and go, oh, he doesn't believe in it, so it's all right. No, makes it worse.
I wrote down horrifically cynical festive dirge. and then it started to snow. And I think you're right. I think that's what the look is. I think it's, I know what this looks like. Yes, I have put on a glittery jacket that I wouldn't be seen dead in. And I do know now this is my future. I've got to trot out. It was like, I think some of the words of the song were Christmas, 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 Christmas. It was just, let's hope this replaces, you know, the wizard one.
If you are a pop star and you go, do you know what I'm going to do? I am going to travel the road that Alexander Armstrong has created.
It's not
with,
a good road.
With a Christmas sort
it's
of
lucrative.
CD. It's
lucrative and fair play to him, I understand.
So's arms dealing, you know.
The kitchen needed new worktops. It's totally fine. Whatever. Yeah, sure.
It didn't
come over well.
It would have been bad any day, but I just felt that this one, with someone being a bit ironic and glib about Christmas, you know, I could have done without that. And then they had the former contestants coming out to do their dance. And
God.
Again, I mean, the choice of songs were All I Want for Christmas, Mariah Carey.
Fine, sure, okay, cool.
It then went into Sweet Caroline with the chorus, hands, touching hands.
Which didn't really work until Caroline Quentin came out. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's why.
Touching me, touching you in the middle of the pandemic.
Inappropriate.
And then it came on Always Look on the Bright Side of Life.
That's obviously,
the dance that you know, Anton had done.
A terrible decision.
It was... I mean,
it was shambolic.
It was a bit like you'd given a quite arsey stand-up. You'd gone, we need three songs for the Strictly final. And he'd gone, well, there's a virus on, so Sweet Caroline for the hands, touching hands bit. Let's do Always Look at the Bright Side of Life because everything's absolutely shit
everything's
at the minute.
Terrible, yeah.
And
yeah.
then that Mariah Carey one, just to start, on the day that Boris has cancelled Christmas. And it just...
I mean, to be fair, that was obviously planned long before the shit show that unfolded.
And it could not have been any more unlucky. I think that was the thing that was harsh about it.
And actually, it was really emotional because it was the end of Strictly and we're all... slightly facing a bleak future this morning. Like, I mean, not long term, but like the idea that Strictly is over for me now is I'm a little bit hungover and I'm quite sad. But it slightly fell apart at the end. The choreography did, and maybe I don't know how long they had to rehearse. Maybe only a few days, but it wasn't a brilliant end. It wasn't like a great big whoomph of a collective joy. It was a little bit of life, da-dum, 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 and just there was no kind of full stop on the series for me. It was a little but there was enough emotion to carry you through to the end. It was
fine. Think so. They did a big compilation video right at the end, which was sort of
going
around
the UK.
Yeah, I mean, most it's always surprising when you see Camilla sort of talking.
That was odd.
I do find myself thinking, is she an official person now, or is she still
I guess she's she will be the king consort, I suppose, or whatever in time to come. But she's just had really bad press again because of the Crown, obviously, because you know it was portrayed as, you know, an affair or whatever. So it was quite an odd choice to get Camilla when I think she's a bit unpopular again at the moment. But I suppose
she's the most sort of senior female royal apart from Her Majesty. And Her Majesty's hardly going to come on for Strictly, is she? But I say Her
you
Majesty.
You nailed the shit out of that dance, Bill. It's not a message from Queen. It's a message from the Queen. I absolutely loved it. It was first class.
And I did, you know, it was a big celebration, this video, you know, how important Strictly has been during the sort of lockdown, the COVID era. I did find it a little bit unusual that what you have is nurses paying tribute to the brave people in TV who have somehow kept it going. There is, it is worth saying, everyone on Strictly has been very, very well paid. They aren't particularly inspirational because to get the money, they've agreed to go to a hotel.
I mean, that's true.
There was a thing of, you know, this is the people who have put this show on are heroes. I would say it's great that Strictly kept going. I think it was really important. I think when a television show is making its own videos about how great the people making the television show is, I think when they go home feeling like, I did a wonderful public service today. Yes, you did. You also did your job. And if we're
you sound like the government, Mark, for pity's sake. These people are heroes. They're frontline workers, as far as I'm bloody concerned.
A BBC tribute to teachers and nurses that really sort of like bigs them up by people in the television industry. I'm not sure it should be the other way around.
I think they just take a pay rise. Just give them a pay rise instead. I don't think they give a shit about being
exactly
clapped.
I agree with that. I should think Claudia and Tess also will now be negotiating for a pay rise for their stellar work during the lockdown. And I have a feeling they're more likely to get it than anyone else.
Do you know what? I think you're right. Sad but true. I think, some people who deserve it probably aren't going to see any extra dollars next year.
And then, of course, we had the actual trophy itself.
The end.
And I thought the nice thing about this was, I mean, not just that Bill won. I thought his reaction to it was wonderful. And there was no punching the air.
Sweet. No, Jamie would have punched the air and then probably punched Karen, I'm guessing. in sheer like, yes,
this
I told
mine.
You, I told you I was the best.
You can't have it. We're not sharing it. Bill's reaction was so lovely and just sort of...
It was gorgeous.
Relief and disbelief. And I thought it was just a really nice... But the nicest thing that they did was they actually allowed Oti to be the only dancer that they're willing to almost treat as a personality. You know,
yes, completely.
They built.
She won last year.
She did. I mean, she did the double, which has never been mentioned in this. They don't talk about it, because I think there was never any intention that she would be able to win it again this year.
Absolutely not. They didn't give her Bill because he was supposed to be a contender. That's the beauty of this.
No, she won it because she is exceptionally great, and she was coupled with someone who they'd looked at and said he's 100, so he can't possibly move.
They underestimated the man with the grey hair.
And I just thought she was gorgeous in this, and you know,
brilliant.
They both spoke honestly and from the heart. Again, when's the last time we saw that on television? Yay. And she hugged, and they hugged, and it was just a lovely, lovely.
It's amazing. You have to...
One of the nicest ends to any series you've
ever
seen.
It was the correct ending, and it was perfect. It was what everyone needed, and presumably the audience did make it happen, but it was exactly what we needed. And you have to keep reminding yourself, he's a comedian. Mark, you know, comedians are monsters. They're much to a man and woman. Some women are okay, some of the men are okay, but they're monsters. They're self-aggrandizing, self-obsessed people. And you just never got a sense of that from Bill at all. He's a good guy.
Yeah, completely.
One of the few good guys. And he did. He came across as just straightforwardly lovely and underplayed it. He could have suddenly at the end gone, yes, and really exploded with triumph and emotion. And he just was quietly trying to take it on board, was overwhelmed like anybody. Like you imagine you and I would be if something that crazy and brilliant had happened to us. You'd be just dumbstruck.
I'd throw the trophy at the camera. I'd try and get it so it smashed out through everyone's TV screen. It'd be amazing. But yeah, I'd do something that would entirely ruin it.
I loved as well, because I forget, and I think this is, although we make jokes about Motsy quite a lot, when her sister won Strictly for the second time.
Yeah.
She was really emotional. It kept cutting back to her. She was crying and crying and crying.
Yeah,
and for a minute, I actually went, but why are they cutting to her? Why is she? I forgot they were sisters, because she does really judge them as a judge.
Yeah,
she does. There's any sense of favouritism at all. And it was a lovely thing to see her finally letting down her judge's guard and just going, yes, you go, girl. And she was just she was properly heaving.
It was lovely.
And
it was just lovely.
And I was crying too. And it was just brilliant.
And I think, you know, this really, for me, you know, it really solidifies the fact that Otie is just this uniquely brilliant talent.
I love her.
On television. I love the fact she has got this African accent. She is this multilinguist. She is an incredible dancer. She seems like a lovely person.
She's just gorgeous.
Every time you see her on television, she's a pro. I think it's just a great thing to see her do it again in a year where they didn't want her to do it again. I think, you know.
I know.
Good news.
But it turned out to be the correct story.
Completely.
That was the arc we all followed.
And all I could think about after this as well was I thought of Jamie Lang's girlfriend sitting at home thinking, well, at least thank God he's not going to have to propose to me now. I've escaped for another day. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Otie.
Oh,
thank
my.
You.
they've probably saved her life in a roundabout way. They've saved her a lot of stress, certainly. But yeah, no, the right result, I think the country agreed. Well, they clearly did. They picked up the phone. But that was the result we needed. No nasty surprises. Particularly, I mean, I don't think it would have been different if we hadn't had the stupid government announcement before it. But just everybody looking at a much changed, much bleaker Christmas for some people and just wanting something lovely. And he said it. It's hope. It's we see you out there. Some of you are alone. Some of you are really not coping with this well. Have hope. Keep going. Be strong. And he embodied that. He was just he was the person we needed all along. I'm so happy for him.
I would love them to have had another pre-recorded bit with Bruno. Just going.
Just to really take the wind out of it.
I want to say congratulations to you. You were so good.
The winner of Strictly Come Dancing.
Partner was also excellent. I loved your dance. And the judges also did, giving it top stroke, nearly top marks. Delete as appropriate. It would have been great. Well, look, that is not just the finale of season 18 of Strictly Come Dancing. It's the finale.
Don't say it.
Of season 2 of The Curse of Strictly. Thank you very much for joining us. There is literally no point doing it without you, although we really enjoy this also. So there is two of us would probably do it. We'd probably do this anyway.
Aren't you going to say something about how I've been like your best friend and I've taught you so much and I'm a really amazing person as well as an amazing dancer, please.
I obviously, when we first meet our partners, a lot of people are very excited, very happy.
I mean,
I'd love to have felt like that, but
I like, I'm casting myself as a Strictly pro here, and you're just not letting me have that. You're not even for 1 minute could you let me have that, Mark. Happy Christmas.
Oh man, it would be appalling to and remiss of me not to say how much I've enjoyed doing this, Julia.
I've enjoyed it. All joking aside,
totes pleasure.
I've loved it too. Thanks, Mark.
Aww,
you big beardy
that's
idiot.
Nice, isn't it? Mm. look, thank you for listening as well. And obviously, as you know, we're not going to end on a bad note or anything. But you know, obviously, it's going to be a funny couple of weeks for everyone.
A bit.
But
odd.
I suppose, look, if you can do it and you're finding it hard, just remember why you're doing it, and you're doing it so that people aren't going to get ill, that people aren't going to be scared.
Exactly.
I think sometimes, you know, we live in a world at the minute where it's very, very difficult to remember sometimes that everyone out there is by and large really, really nice and really, really lovely.
Mostly
and if
good.
You bear in mind those people when you're going through the hardships, it seems a little less hard in some ways. If you do, however, live near Boris Johnson, just get pots and pans and set them up on string with a sort of rig so you can just shake it all day long and go into the night. And if you've got two of you, take it in turns and shifts. Some of you sleep, but try and ruin his life.
And if you could just make sure that if you do live near him or indeed Jimmy Biscuits, that they don't break the tier four lockdown in any way. And if they do, please report them immediately to the police and me. And come and tell me on the Strictly Curse of Strictly Twitter as well, because I will be. I'm here for that.
I love the fact that the Curse of Strictly podcast, it slowly is changing as Strictly goes off air into basically a neighbourhood watch organisation that is
unofficial. It's basically it's vigilantes now. We're vigilantes. So I will be there night or day on that Strictly Twitter account. Yeah. So please do come and find us at Curse of Strictly Pod. And I just always come. I'm still watching. I'll always be watching, Jimmy.
Next week, we'll have a podcast where we read out the names of those who have infringed our new rules.
Yes, we will.
And we'll be calling for summary punishment. until then, you've been Julia Rayside. I've been Mark Haynes. And yeah. Julia, I think you can throw us out for the last time. My baby's asleep. I've been told I've got to be quieter. So,
hush, little baby keep dancing.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plot like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter at FriendsWF.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.